to the choir and Billy and praise team and Carol and Kathy. We appreciate it so much and how you lead our congregation in worship week after week. And you also have I wouldn't call it a hidden commodity, but you know that your audio and visual people are on top of things too. I've enjoyed working with them the last number of weeks, and so we'll close out what little time I've been with you and just being with you during this time of transition and adjustment, and we've enjoyed it very, very much. And so thank you for making us feel welcome, and thank you for what you mean and the impact you have with the gospel of Christ around this county. And so it's just an honor and a privilege I have to be in one of 115 churches every week. We have 115 homes, I say, and we enjoy it very much. And even outside the county, the Buncombe Baptist Association is one of the leading associations in the state. There are 8 urban centers in the state. We are one of those 8 urban centers. We are one of 65 Baptist associations in the nation with over 100 churches that partner together. And so those 65 director of missions have opportunity to meet in Atlanta every year and discuss some unique things that's unique to the context where they serve in. And so associations and churches from all over the western end of the state call upon us to counsel and give advisement as a Baptist association because of the quality believers who walk with the Lord here in Buncombe County. And so I want you to know that. So you not only impact people in Buncombe County, but just this past week I was asked to come out to the Haywood Association for a while. I'll be at New South River in Fayetteville. I have a connection with Caldwell coming up soon, Caldwell Association. And so the Buncombe Association has a history of quality leadership down through many, many, many years that has set us on a good course, and basically because of all the churches and the quality of work and ministry that goes on in the churches in Buncombe County. I took last weekend away from you. I haven't seen my daughter, who is expecting another grandchild. She's in Williamsburg, Virginia. Her husband's in the Army. They couldn't come in over Christmas, and I haven't seen them since Thanksgiving. And so I got to go up. Dell had went up a few weeks before I did. But I went up last weekend, spent some time with those grandkids and my daughter. And they're expecting that fourth. He's another little boy to be their third little boy. And I always ask this question because somewhere among 9 grandkids, this will be 9, you'd have thought somebody would have named their child Perry somewhere. That's yet to happen. And so finding out that this was another little boy coming, I said to her, "Have y'all thought about a name?" The last little boy that came to them, they named Anderson. I said, "You mean like the window you put in a house?" And I call him Andy. And this time they said, "Yes, we have. We're thinking about Lennox." I said, "Like the heat pump, you know?" I think they've moved on from Lennox since then and something else. But it's not Perry. Nowhere close. So there's not going to be one, I guess, named Perry. But we've got Landon with us today. He's our 10-year-old and our oldest grandson. And we love when they get to come and travel with us. So take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4 and reading for just a few moments and looking beginning in verse 11, okay? Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 11. Throughout history, and as you study history, one of the key leaders throughout history generations ago was Winston Churchill. He was known as one of the greatest leaders to ever live and was very, very instrumental in the victory in World War II on that soil there across the pond. He found himself at times, though, even though he was known as a great leader and he gave great leadership, history records that in some of the most critical times, he struggled. It is often said that his leadership, at times, he struggled with what he called a black dog day. Now, I think occasionally that some of us as spiritual leaders, whether it's in the spiritual realm, domestic realm, academic realm, what scientific realm, whatever it might be in, there might be times that we would call a black dog day. Gary McIntosh wrote a book that I picked up in 2002, and it was entitled Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership. You see, there is a dark side of giving leadership. Sometimes leadership puts you in the middle. Sometimes leadership you have to catch up. Sometimes leadership, some folks don't quite understand when it's first initiated. And so William Churchill said, that's when it was really a dark side for me. But Gary McIntosh said that all of us have just an inch of personal dysfunction in our life, don't we? Sometimes it's by past experience. Maybe it was family. Maybe it's growing up. But somewhere down the line, something's greatly impacted us. And it took me a number of years to understand a little bit more about some things that I struggle with and some issues maybe and what the underlying issue was in my life that it sometimes created a black dog day. You see, I never had a grandparent. My maternal grandfather killed himself driving drunk when my mother was a teenager. My parental grandfather left when my father was a year old, and his mother gave him away to her parents. And he never met his father till he was in his early 20s. But what stands out in my mind now is I remember my father, on visits to Alabama, would take me down, put me in the car, and take me to Sand Rock, Alabama, a community the Brindleys started in the 1830s, Asa Brindley, the first postmaster ever in Sand Rock, Alabama. And my father would put me in the car and we'd travel to Sand Rock, Alabama, just so, hoping, desiring that my grandfather would somehow want a relationship with him then. That my grandfather would somehow take hold of having a grandson and desire to have some level of relationship. We made two visits, and nothing more was ever desired. So I really never had a grandfather in my life. And so I think a sense of rejection as you grow older and you understand really what happened, and you understand that there was a rejection there early in life, that someone who naturally is supposed to love you, someone who naturally is supposed to care for you, someone who naturally is supposed to be concerned for your well-being, desired not to and didn't. That was a black dog day for me. And every now and then, something will occur or I will see something that brings that to my attention. And it creates within me a black dog day. Winston Churchill, one thing he did do, in the time in which they knew that bombing raids were going to come, and he wanted everyone there to be prepared in England for that time when it might come. And in 1939, he had a sign printed. And they printed 2.4 million signs. And do you know what it said? It said, "Keep calm and carry on." And they were to be posted all around England so that the residents of the country, as they drove through England, worked in England, went from neighborhood to neighborhood, could catch glimpse of a sign that said, "Keep calm and carry on." So when the bombing raids start, they would have that motto embedded in their mind and they would immediately know where to turn and they would know that they needed to keep calm and that they needed to carry on in their daily routine, knowing that the bombing raids were going to come. They found those signs in cold storage years after that. And not a one of them was ever posted. Keep calm and carry on. So what a slogan that would be for us to have today, wouldn't it? That no matter what experiences in life and how different we are with our experiences in life, no matter what the black dog that might arise in our own life from time to time, that as a church family, as a people of God, then we can take what Winston Churchill put on that sign and realize that we need to keep calm and just carry on. So we need to draw some truths back out of cold storage. They found those signs hidden away in cold storage. So we need to draw some truths out of cold storage that will make a difference over the next season for your church family. So I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to take a deep breath. And let's talk about your immediate future. And let's talk about the fact you can fully trust the very promise of God to give generous guidance and generous wisdom And your reliance is completely upon Him and not any knowledge that we have or you have and not any past experiences. But if solely alone relying upon our Savior and upon our Heavenly Father who has said to us, I will generously give you guidance. And in James chapter 1, he says, pray and ask. If you seek wisdom, I'm willing to give it to you liberally. I'm willing to give you the guidance that you need willingly and liberally when you seek me in doing so. Seek God to seek a pastor. Well, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, that he himself, talking about our Heavenly Father, gave some to the apostles and some to prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers just for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. To perfect man to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so he gifts those that he calls. And he gifts those whom he saves. Yesterday I was with a deacon team, Friday night and yesterday in leadership training. And we talked about the spiritual gifts that every believer has and receives at the time of their conversion. And at the time you were converted, you received at least one spiritual gift. And some are multiple. And God uses those spiritual gifts as He unfolds and develops the very family of God and the church of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He unfolds those. And those spiritual gifts, if we allow God to do so, can overcome and surpass any of those black dogs that's nipping at our heels. Well, if you'll watch on the PowerPoint on the back, I just want to take a few moments to tell you how crucial the next few months or even year would be in the days ahead. It could go unsaid that the most critical and crucial time in the life of any congregation is during the time of transition. And there's powerful potential in the life of the church during the time of a transition. It is not our case to sit still. It is not our objective to be still and just to sit still, but it's our objective to continue to progress and move forward as a body and stick close to our Lord and give exaltation to our Savior and stay close to each other, because it takes each one of us to move the body of Christ forward with stability so that we can continue to impact the kingdom's work. There is powerful, powerful potential in the interim period for revival, for renewal, for repentance, and then revival, and then renewal. And so there's powerful potential for God to meet our needs and for God to speak to our hearts and for God to continue to grow us in our journey of faith and take us down the road. Well, I've got my clicker right here already. All right, right there. Here we go. Transitional pastors, interim pastors, are here to assist. They're here so that they might assist you as you move forward. They are faithful in sharing the word. Do you want someone who loves to preach the gospel and someone who will feed you from the word of God and will continue to move you forward by sharing with you the very truth of God? He is here to assist you. He will be here to bring consultation as it's requested. He will be here to work with your staff and enjoy the privilege of ministering with your staff. He will be here to enjoy the privilege of ministering with lay leadership. He will be here to enjoy the privilege of ministering with you. And He will be here for one sole purpose, to edify the body of Christ during a transition period. Now, if the time is most crucial, if the time is most critical, why in the world would you not want the very best of the best that God has prepared, right? And so in times when I share this throughout Buncombe County in churches that are seeking interim pastors, as God delivers that person to you that will serve you in the interim period, it is here that those pastors, they exist to assist you. All right? Providing guidance. Now, I know some of us are smart and some of us have had a lot of experience maybe, but I'll tell you, there's not one of us that knows every avenue we ought to take. And there's not any one of us that doesn't need to discern wisdom that God has given some others. And there's not any one of us that at times doesn't need to ask questions. There's not any one of us that at times would not need to just back up and say, you know, I misdirected, I should have took my time, and I should have prayed more and just took my time more before I made that decision. And so your interim pastor that will be coming, that person is here for you to glean guidance from. He is one of great experience in the pastorate. He is one of great experience as a transitional interim. He is one, why would you want anybody else? You know, you can go out here and get any preacher off the curb. And believe me, I know I meet some of them. I know I meet some that have had 1 year and out, and another year and out, and another place and a year and out, and another place and a year and out. And they're all willing to preach, and they might be great preachers. But tell me, where have they gained any level of experience in the pastorate? Positive experience. So you see, it's not just to gain a preacher to fill a pulpit. It is to gain a pastor in the transition time that will be giving you scriptural guidance and direction that's available for questions, that's available to consult with leadership, lay leaders, that's available to bounce ideas and questions off of. And because of a vast level of experience in the pastorate, a vast level of experience in a transitional interim role, a vast level of experience in a 20,000 foot view of ministry, would you not want somebody that has that? Yes, you would. And you do. Well, he provides guidance. Click it. Lending support. Lending support and encouragement for you. Do you know lay leaders always, we all need support in all of our ministry we're called to do. But it's important that lay leaders in the life of a congregation, we are a group of volunteers, aren't we? That they receive support and encouragement, and that they are able to bounce questions off of someone who is experienced in those potential areas. And so I've witnessed personally the power of an interim period. I've witnessed people come with broken hearts in repentance. I've witnessed churches experience revival. I've witnessed churches experience renewal during an interim period. It is not just about pedaling a bike. It is not about running on a treadmill. It is about progressing and moving forward even during an interim period. Sweeping repentance, sweeping revival, sweeping renewal. Lending support. Being here in prayerful support, being here in verbal support, being here to touch lives and to minister with the Word of God. Click it. Transitional pastors exist to assist addressing issues that arise during the interim period. Anything that you need to bounce off of that transitional interim, any question that where dialogue needs to happen, that person's the experienced person that can help live into that, all right? Transitional pastors exist too. They are never candidates for the role of pastor. Never. Your transitional interim does not feel called to be considered as your pastor. And if you ever, ever, ever hear of any church that says we have an interim and now he says he wants to be our pastor, back up, there's about to be trouble. Because that transitional interim, that he has a platform week after week after week after week after week, and he can do everything he can to sell himself. And my friend, when you call an interim, don't call anybody that says they have any interest in being your pastor. That's not what they feel called to do. But they feel called to live into your ministry during a transition period, to assist you and lend support and to be prayerful. I've seen on occasion someone say, I just want to be your interim. And then 4 weeks into it, would say, I've decided I now want to be considered as your pastor. Well, what does that do immediately? That divides a congregation, doesn't it? Congregations, some of them feel like, well, you know, let's consider him. He does a pretty good job. He's been here 4 weeks. We just need to keep on plugging along and doing our search. You see, that kind of interruption in the process never needs to happen. Never. And so your transitional interim should be one that does not have desire and does not feel called to be your pastor, but he feels called to be your transitional interim to assist you to continue to progress forward in the days ahead. So there is no transitional interim, and they should tell you right up front, I have no desire to be your pastor. That's not what God's calling on my life is. But God's called me to serve churches in the interim period. And that's where I'm living into. All right? Next frame. All right. Experience is vital. Experience is vital. It assists the church to keep moving forward. And listen, you don't want an interim that hasn't had experience as a lead pastor. As a lead pastor. Because it is during those years of lead pastorate where you grow in wisdom and where you understand challenges that every local church might face, and where you would understand that how you can best assist people and assist lay leadership as you're called upon to live in a consultation role, in a consulting role, how you might best do that. And so that transitional interim is one that is experienced and as a lead pastor. I have known on occasion across the state a church that would call someone very, 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 very young in ministry that has never had a role on a church staff. And they would call in to serve as an interim. And I rarely, most of the time, have I seen that not work well. Someone with experience that has been there, they're tried and they're true. They've grown in wisdom. They've seen the challenges. They've seen the pitfalls. And so therefore they're here to give you guidance, biblical guidance, and guidance to the leadership team during this time. Landon, come join me just a minute, would you? I got to tell you about this little boy here. He's my oldest, so he changed our life when he came along. What year were you born? 2008. 2008, yeah. So he's 10. This boy loves his football. He's a dictionary of football. And so he likes to play. And so here was it, 2 years ago? 2 years ago in the playoff games in the youth league. And he likes to play. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been the strongest player on the field? You're not? Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been the tallest player on the field? No. You ever been the fastest player on the field?
No.
Okay. Have you ever been the heaviest player on the field? No? Okay. All right. But I want to tell you what I see him do. I seen him in a playoff game. When the opposition broke loose on a sweep to the left boundary, and I see him leave his linebacker position on the far side of the field, and the opposition was motoring down the sidelines, it was a clear-cut touchdown. And I seen this boy take the right angle. He took the right angle and sprinted as quick as he could in his speed across the field. And before that boy reached the goal line, he laid a lick on him. And the only one between this young man and the goal line was this boy, who's not the fastest on the team, who's not the tallest on the team, not the strongest on the team, by his own admission, right? Yeah, but you know what he did? He took the right angle and he stayed focused. He took the right angle and he stayed focused. Is that what you done?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. He's got a lot of good gifts just like his Nana. There you go. All right. I'm just saying to you, take the right angle and stay focused. There's a right process, and your search team is going to be prayerful in following a process to seek God as they seek a pastor. And so stay focused and take the right angle, and God is going to unfold His perfect plan in the days ahead. Okay? So that's why I want you to know that potential interim pastor has grown in wisdom. They have experience as a lead pastor. He desires to see you continue in good health. That is his greatest heartfelt desire, is that when God unfolds His perfect plan and places the prepared person to serve as your pastor, that transitional interim pastor can walk away with a great big smile and say, glory to God. God's provided His person for that congregation. And that's when he knows and feels fulfilled that God has used him to give you encouragement and direction and the word during that interim time. Now, I realize it's been over 32 years, hasn't it been? So this is new to most of us in the building. But that transitional pastor is going to be that person who desires more, as much as anybody else, that Starnes Cove Baptist Church continues to hold very close to their heart what you value as a church ministry and how you do church ministry and evangelism and missions and prayer and how you do that. They want so much that you continue to have good health and grow in your health. All right? Click it. Experience is vital. He rejoices in seeing a congregation reach toward potential kingdom impact. And we all ought to be moving toward our potential kingdom impact, shouldn't we? We should. And so his greatest goal, being with you during that transition time, is that he would see you and assist you in moving toward your potential in kingdom impact. Well, goals are important too. I'm clicking. There we go. And got a little Charlie Sims in me, don't I? I can do that, all right? Goals are important because goals are important. And he wants to see you move forward in reaching your goals. Now, let me say this. What you have and the potential you have, which thrills my heart greatly, that's been put together for you, this 149 bracelet. And I've got mine. I've got mine this morning. And so your director of missions is going to be prayerful with you during this process. I encourage you to take this prayer strategy and take it seriously. There is no greater effort that you could have as a church family, as a whole, as to make a consistent strategy and systematic strategy of prayer during this time. The results will be God-given. And the results will be a smoother climb forward and progressing in that way if you will take seriously this prayer strategy and this 149 prayer strategy. And I've got mine on my hand, on my wrist. So prayer is going to be your key to moving forward. You're going to enjoy your time of worship next week with the prodigal sons. And for all of those senior adults that enjoy our senior adult gathering in May, the prodigal sons are going to be singing for us senior adults that day too on that event in May when we all come together. But you're going to enjoy that. But then you're going to welcome a potential interim pastor. And so my heart, my desire is that you would understand a little more about that role of that individual and that his purpose and his drive in serving God by serving you. And the good health of this congregation is primary and foremost. And for you to look back one day and say, you know what? God blessed us with a wonderful transition process. And he saw us through every inch of where we went. But it's all going to be determined as to how you seriously treat a prayer strategy. And so I encourage you to treat this prayer strategy role vitally, vitally, vitally important. Is there another frame, brother? Goals are important. Equip your interim, your transitional or interim pastor will enjoy seeing church members to become personally involved in the ministries of the church. Even more church members that are to become personally involved in the ministry of this church. All right, we can keep moving. Help the church members rediscover a closer walk with the Lord. It's not a time for a letdown. It is a time to be moving forward, okay? Prepare church members to build a positive relationship with a future pastor. That's another goal that transitional pastor will have, is to assist you to be ready to receive the pastor that God is preparing. You know, sometimes a church can call a pastor too early and not be ready. Sometimes a church will not have proper readiness to receive that pastor. Maybe there's something that needs to be dealt with and that God can deal with before you ever welcome a new pastor. Something that needs to be done and God can only lead to the dealing of it and correction of it before the new pastor arrives. And God knows when that time is and God knows how the church needs to be prepared and God knows how the man needs to be prepared. But that transitional interim is the steady hand in the pulpit with the word sharing with you, loving you, caring for you, and giving consultation and counsel as God allows him the opportunity to do so. Transitional interim. That's where you're at. That's why the next step that's going to be vitally, vitally important to you, because the church is at a critical and crucial time. I've heard this statement made at different places across the state, and so I try to address this statement now whenever I hear it. I hear it occasionally. Someone will say, can we afford him? It's not about affording. Let me ask you this. Can you afford not to have the best? Can you afford not to have experience? Can you afford not to have someone who is versed in the Word of God and faithful to it? Can you afford not to have someone that can give proper wisdom and consultation? Can you afford not to have someone who is experienced? Can you afford not to have someone that is experienced in a very positive manner in a number of areas in church ministry? You can't afford that. But really, the question is not what you can afford and what not you cannot afford. The question is, what is God's plan during this time? That's the question. And that's what we have to seek an answer to. And that's where we move forward in prayer. What's God's plan to continue to bond this family together in ministry and move us ahead, even during a time of transition? You see, he desires to prepare church members to build that relationship with the next pastor. And so he will give prayerful guidance in the church in transition. I work with some of the finest transition or interim pastors in what I think, Buncombe County. And I try my best to not let them slip out of Buncombe County. And sometimes they'll slip away into Yancey for a few months or slip away into Madison, but I try to cast the hook and get them back in here as fast as I can, keep them in Buncombe County, because they're important to our churches, very important to the health of our churches. And so I know God's going to give you direction, but it's going to start with your prayerfulness. It's going to start with your bended knee. It's going to start with your bowed head. It's going to start with your broken heart. You pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we're grateful we can commit this time to you. Thank you for the Starnes Cove congregation. This is a very crucial, critical time, but a very powerful time, a very powerful time in the life of this church family. We must be in prayer. Can I ask you a question, congregation? Can I ask you a question in just a moment? And I want you to think about this question just a moment. Will you commit to praying for your family? It's wonderful to hear my 4-year-old granddaughter talk, and she says, my Nana prays for me. My daddy prays for me. Now, I'm not sure in a 4-year-old mind you can really comprehend what someone is doing when they pray for you. But the little girl knows that it's important. Why would we choose any less when it comes to our church family? Why would we choose any less when it comes to our church family? I'm going to ask you in just a moment if you'll just recognize a commitment to pray by standing to your feet. Would you stand to your feet? Would you right now? And then I'm going to ask you, would you recognize a commitment to pray by just lifting your hand to the Lord for just a moment? Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor Perry, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be committed to my prayer life and praying for our church family. Thank you. You can lower those hands. You have a wonderful prayer strategy that's laid out ahead of you. I love the way it's put together. I love the way that it gives direction and guidance. I encourage you to treat it seriously. This is a time when prayer is of foremost importance to your family. Pray for your church family. Pray for the leadership that's here. Pray for all those who are seated around you. Pray for those who God will be sending. Churches actually have experiences of growth during an interim period. They step forward. This is a period of growth for the entire church spiritually. so we intentionally seek the Lord to seek a pastor. Heavenly Father, as I close this time, and it's my last Sunday here, I'm just lifting to you with heartfelt affection a desire that you would just pour out your direction, your wisdom, and your love upon this congregation. They're a very powerful group. They don't realize it. They're very humble about it. But this congregation is very powerful in your kingdom's work. Would you bring a togetherness and a unity that is rare today, that is difficult to find anywhere and very rarely found? We're going to ask God that you would deliver that to this family. And through their prayerfulness, through their encouragement of each other, that they would see you high and lifted up in the days ahead. Thank you for hearing the heartfelt prayer of one of your children. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So, Father, we depend upon you to make that real in our lives through this experience. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Before you leave, I want to get to the door, okay? Thank you for letting me introduce a grandson to you.